The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
My birthday. Very much. We really appreciate all of that. Indeed. Oh, I'm hearing myself. I'm hearing an echo. Hope that goes away soon. But we're here, and it's Sunday night. It's Black Talk Live Sunday. And we have some explosive topics for tonight on the table. We are discussing destroying the school-to-prison pipeline and exposing environmental racism. So we'll share a couple of clips just to kind of get things started here on a school-to-prison pipeline and exposing this environmental racism. And looking through some clips and reading articles about environmental racism. I mean, I just didn't know, like, how wide this whole environmental racism spans. I mean, I knew of its existence, and, like, I heard of a certain area in, Arkansas, where, Georgia? It's Georgia something, but the Koch brothers own that Georgia train line. I can't call it right now. Forgive me, but a lot of the toxic waste is dumped into this, body of water. I want to say it's like a small river, behind this neighborhood, like near Little Rock, Arkansas. And they actually call the street, Cancer Alley, because everybody has some type of respiratory problem. People have, of course, passed from cancer. All these strange cancers, and of course, children are born with birth defects. Now, I know that there are certain zip codes that were in Memphis where a lot of environmental poisoning existed, as well as right outside of Detroit, there's an area called Rouge River. And when I drove through that area, it reminded me so much of Crystal City and Channel View, and I believe it's the Channel View area.
Here in Houston, that's Riverview Rouge. That's Riverview. I remember going out to that area. It's parks and stuff out there when I lived in Detroit as a child. But it's River Rouge.
That's it. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you so much. How you doing, Scotty?
I'm not going to complain too much because I'm not living in a toxic alley. Like, I'm saying for real, I mean that when I be saying that to people when they ask me how I'm doing. Because, I mean, there's just so much suffering out there. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, but at the same time, it can make you thankful for your situation ain't as bad as many others. So that's how I'm doing.
That's right. Well, I heard that, Scott. Now, you said it's River Rouge.
Yes.
River Rouge. Okay, I had it backwards. But yeah, and River Rouge is very similar to a lot of cities, but like right here in Houston, Channel View area, Crystal City, this area is called Crystal City because when you're driving through it at night, it's all lit up, or if you're looking at it from the other side of town, you can see all these lights, and it's really beautiful. Just looks like some little sparkling lights. Scattered around in this area, but those are, you know, of course, the lights on top of the factory buildings that are emitting all of these smoke, this smoke and the fumes and the toxic fumes and all of this. And so, of course, people are paid very well to work out at these factories because guess what? They know they're going to die. Have premature illnesses and deaths from all of these chemicals that they have to breathe in 8 hours a day. And it's really ridiculous that people are forced to have to work on jobs like this in order to make decent money and provide for your family, but you have to risk your health. And I think that that's disgusting. It's obscene. And I can really see now why people really get involved in this environmental justice piece, because it's a slow death. It's like you signing your name over to a slow death. It's an area driving over. I think I want to say like when you're coming out of Houston, driving towards Louisiana, like LaPorte and all of that. If you go through that way, all same thing. Factories emitting all of this smoke, and it's just horrible. So we are going to get into this environmental piece. I saw some clips of people talking about Cadman, New Jersey, Trenton, from Trenton and Cadman to Somalia to China. Just all this toxic waste is just being dumped. Flint. So it's not just Flint. It's so many areas. We hear these stories in our news about like Somalian pirates attacking these ships and all this. So the United States or whatever country wants to go over there and fight Somalia. Well, in actuality, I think I have this clip and I'll share it. Environmental waste is being dumped in the areas where the Somalian fishermen would fish. So they had to kind of become pirates, and, or what they call pirates. They had to defend their area so that they can maintain the fishing industry for their people so that they can feed their people. But see, on the news over here, we hear that, oh, yeah, they attacked this ship. We're going to go there. We're going to blow all of those Somalians up. So you stop dumping toxic waste where those people need to eat. That's what you do. So let me see. Feather, you have a quote for us on our topic, environmental justice or school-to-prison pipeline?
No, I wonder, I'm ready to hear the tape, and namaste, everyone. Mm-hmm. You are on point, and I'm so glad that this is a topic, and I'm ready to listen to a tape, and then after that, a clip, and then after that, I'll come in with my conscious revolution talk that relates to where we are, you know, as people.
Mm-hmm. Where we are as people. Okay.
Dealing all right with this.
Indeed. So let me see here. Let's go into this one. Environmental racism. I'm trying to find the one I really want to play first, but I think it's this one here. One second. And
just
we have
one second,
and yeah, just one second, please. We have King B and Delta online too, and we'll come right to you because I know King B has some words of wisdom for us, and so does Delta Cougar. She has some hot topics for us. So let's get into this racial discrimination. I think this is the one I want to play.
And then I'll be ready for my my piece.
Okay.
Camden was a beautiful city. You wouldn't believe it. Years ago, it used to have stores on every corner. You didn't see no vacant lots, houses. It was clean. The water was good. The air was fresh. Now the air is bad, and the water is poisonous.
Camden has the second highest cancer rate in New Jersey and the eighth highest in the nation.
The children were sick. They were coming home from the hospital with breathing apparatuses, where years ago, say 5 years ago, it was only one child coming home with a breathing apparatus. Now it's 4 out of 5 are coming home with breathing apparatus.
The main complaints are asthma and cancer. Practically every hearse you see pulled up, someone done died from cancer.
The county, which is predominantly white and fairly affluent, dominates Camden politics in a lot of ways. And it started using Camden as the place where the things that no one else wanted, they got put in Camden.
The city is home to 103 toxic sites.
This is our park for our children to play in. But at one end of the park is the cement plant, St. Lawrence Cement Plant. And at the other end of the park is the sewage treatment plant.
One, the factory runs around the clock. Two, the trucks are running 500, 600 trucks around the clock. They have this dust, this black dust behind us. They have it sitting out. They don't have it in containers. If we have a strong wind or a storm or something, this dust is picked up and it's blown all through the neighborhood. It's all in your window sills, all on the ground, all in your eyes. And we found out that semen will cause your arteries and your lungs to harden. Semen is semen.
Bonnie Sanders leads the local environmental group, South Camden Citizens in Action. The group organized several community protests against the opening of the St. Lawrence Cement Plant.
I think any community would believe that the statutes of this country would protect the residents and the inhabitants of a community to say that no, no more. We shouldn't be disproportionately subjected to toxic waste sites any more than anyone else just because we are minorities and poor.
The group sued the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, charging racial discrimination.
The judge granted a preliminary injunction, which took a lot of people by surprise and made us very excited. Here's a $60 million facility that was built, that's ready to start operating, and here this little community group stopped it in its tracks.
But 5 days later, the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision that limited the rights of people to sue on the grounds of racial discrimination. As a result, the Camden case was thrown out of court. Now, in order to prove discrimination, South Camden Citizens in Action has defined what amounts to a smoking gun.
For the Camden people, the only argument really that the court has left for them is that they prove that the people did this for the purpose of harming them. That's a very high bar. And it is difficult for us to get into the minds of others and prove subjective intent unless you wrote a memo or said, I want to put this cement plant in South Camden because I want to hurt black people. Now, we had that memo. Yeah, you can go to court. But after that kind of evidence, the court is saying the doors are closed.
The children is the ones that are suffering. The children is walking down the street and passing out. All they're doing is more and more every day violating our civil rights.
There's this phrase that you might hear in the news sometimes, the school-to-prison pipeline. It's shorthand for how schools are funneling students, especially black students, into the criminal justice system. It started in the 90s when schools responded to fears about crime with zero tolerance policies, which mandated suspensions and expulsions for certain violations. They also cracked down on little things, like talking back or uniform violations. The hope was that it would keep bigger problems from bubbling up. But as a result, out-of-school suspensions have doubled since the 1970s, and they keep increasing, even though juvenile crime rates have now been dropping for years. Around the same time, the number of police officers stationed full-time inside schools has increased by a third between 1997 and 2007. Ostensibly, they were there to prevent mass school shootings like the one at Columbine, but they end up being a way for schools to basically outsource discipline to the police. Schools with officers have five times as many arrests for disorderly conduct as schools without them. Sometimes the results are shocking. But the less visible effect is that schools are feeding the racial disparities in the criminal justice system. Consider the fact that schools are more likely to have an officer on their campus if the student population is more than 50% black. You might assume that that's because there's more crime at these schools, but although students at police schools are more likely to be arrested, they're not actually more likely to be charged in court for weapons, drugs, alcohol, or assault, at least according to one study. During the 2010-2011 school year, 1 in 6 public school students in the U.S. were black, but they accounted for 1 in 3 arrests at school. Same goes for other forms of school discipline. Black students are suspended or expelled 3 times more frequently than white students. It actually begins in preschool. 18% of preschoolers are black. But of all preschoolers suspended more than once, 48% are black. Studies show that differences in behavior can't fully account for these disparities. Black students and white students are sent to the principal's office at similar rates, but black students are more likely to end up with a serious punishment. One study found that white students are more likely to be suspended for provable offenses, like smoking or vandalism. Black students are more likely to be suspended for subjective offenses, like talking back or insubordination. Students who are suspended in school are more likely to later drop out or get arrested, so the federal government is asking schools to make suspension and expulsion the absolute last resort. In Oakland, California, public schools are trying something called restorative justice, where both parties in a conflict talk it out with a counselor instead of relying on punishment. The results are pretty encouraging. In the last 10 years, chronic absenteeism is down, and graduation rates are up in the schools that have tried it. Other cities and districts are also trying new policies. They're hoping that if their students end up in the criminal justice system, at least it won't be because the schools push them there.
All right, I thought that was very interesting in terms of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Wow.
U.S. Supreme Court. Let me just welcome in everybody. Welcome in Feather. Welcome in Icy Hot and King B and Delta.
Thank you.
Wow. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome in. We have some explosive topics tonight, and I don't know if you were able to hear that piece. Icy Hot, U.S. Supreme Court limited the rights of people to sue on the grounds of racial discrimination when these people try to sue based on this environmental racism.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, Audrey, you have a piece to share?
Yes, I'm just blown away with this clip. How obviously racial it is that they took that action to block what was so evident. You know, it is bigger than we realize. It is. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely astounding. It's horrific. It is horrific, the many different ways that we are being attacked. But let me talk on this for just a few minutes. And it kind of affects us where we are as a people. And this is about the root chakra, the right to have. Are you grounded? Do you feel safe and secure in this world? Are you on your path? How are you doing financially? Are you constantly struggling, or do you have a strong foundation? Do you feel powerless sometimes about what's really going on? Depressed even? How well do you know your root chakra, that bundle of energy that's at the base of the spine that corresponds with the color red? Is it on balance, overactive, underactive? Are you manifesting your dreams, feeling safe and secure in your world? As we have mentioned, everything is energy. Just number one. Why you get angry, why your money seems to run short of your expenses, why you consistently worry about your safety and security, your personal power, your sexuality, your voice, your self-love, how you speak up for yourself or not, all has to do with how your energy is flowing in your body and in your energy center points. Why a person seems at peace within themselves amidst a world of psychopathic behavior. Melanin is distributed. I hear a lot of background noise, and it's kind of clank, clank, you know, and it's not allowing me to come through clearly. Can you fix that, Black Rose?
Okay.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay, so melanin is distributed throughout the body, according to Dr. Layla Africa, who's a doctor of naturopathy.
Muted.
No consultant and historian, and he's a lecturer and author of Melanin, What Makes Black People Black. So, Dr. Africa says these melanin energy pathways are erroneously named acupuncture meridians, close quote. So, as we know, these meridians or energy channels are used by acupuncturists and reflexologists to release certain energy blockages that cause pain and illness and addictions and all these other psychological issues. So Dr. Africa goes on to say, these meridians or melanin energy pathways collide or cluster in areas of the body. And so this results in 12 meridian clusters. Other races have less, close quote. Now, I've read about, you know, sometimes I'll see 7 chakras and sometimes I'll see 12 chakras and somebody else may list 15. And so I always wonder, you know, why some only refer to spirit to just to 7. So there lies the answer. Everybody doesn't have the same number of clusters because it is based on your melanin content. So these clusters that are in our bodies, they're like funnel shaped and they're spinning around. And when they're spinning well, everything is okay. And they're called chakras because that's a Sanskrit word, which means a wheel or disc. So these melanin, associated with it. That's important. The root chakra, which is the foundation of the chakras, is associated with the right to have, the right to be here. And that's the first one. It deals with your roots, with roots and grounding and survival and manifestation and your physical body and food. Just basically living, and its element is earth. You have the sacral chakra, you have the right to feel, the solar plexus, you got the right to act, the heart, you have the right to love, the throat chakra, you have the right to speak, the third eye chakra, you have the right to see, and the crown chakra, you have the right to know. So until recently, I was not aware of my right to speak, the throat chakra, because of an early childhood trauma, it was pretty much closed, you know. So I really wasn't speaking up for myself, but I never knew why. I just knew I had a difficult time with that. And some people may say, oh, I don't have a problem with that at all. I just say whatever's on my mind. They don't like it, they can kiss my butt, you know. But everybody isn't like that. Everybody, based on their experiences, have difficulty with different parts of themselves. Cadillac Kimberly has a talk YouTube show, and she opens up by saying, this is Cadillac Kimberly. You don't like what I say, you can kiss my ass, please. Kiss my ass. And I always thought, wow, it would be great to just say that. But I'm not that bold, but I'm learning. That's why my theme song is I'm Coming Out by Donna Ross. No, I like men. So some people have overactive throat chakras. They talk consistently, nonstop. They don't listen to anybody. There's blah, 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 blah. Their chakras are overactive. Your chakras can be balanced, underactive, or even closed. So Maya Angelou's throat chakra was closed for years, and she didn't speak, you know, because of something that happened to her, and she just stopped speaking. So I want to talk about how the throat chakra is, I mean, I'm sorry, the root chakra is affecting us. And the Wheels of Life, a classic guide to the chakra system, Judith Anadia is quoted as saying, if an energy cluster or chakra becomes partially blocked or closed due to a childhood trauma or other life trauma, this can lead to illness or emotional issues. And if we don't understand the workings of our chakra, we can't truly fix the problem, just only medicate it. So I chose to speak on the root chakra, not only because it's the foundation of the entire system and the building block in which the other systems rest, but also because of today's topic and the right associated with this chakra, the right to have, the right to be here. This chakra is associated with our physical bodies, how we're here in the first place, and it has to do with our health, our survival, our safety, security, feeling thereof, our material and monetary existence. It's our need to stay alive, to be healthy, and to manifest our needs and desires. We have this right. We have the right to clean water. We have the right to safe housing, proper nutrition, not being poisoned and denied these things, and the right to manifestation of material things. We don't have to wait until we die and walk around heaven all day. We want to walk around now with what we have the right to have. And according to the reading of the root chakra, this is our right. So if I have time later during the second break, I'll come back and we'll talk about what symptoms will show you how the root chakra is balanced, underactive, or overactive. And now I think it's about time for a break. Is it?
Well, we have a few more minutes, so we'll allow for a little discussion on our topic and what you just shared with us about the root topic, root chakra. So we have King B and Delta and Icy Hot on the line. And is Brother Brown here with us?
I'm on the road. I'm listening.
Okay. All right, Brother Brown. Press star 6-1 then if you want me to open up your mic, okay? Or text me.
Go ahead and open it up.
Okay. Yeah, you open, but now whoever that is coughing, I'm not going to keep your mouth open. Because that's the third cough I just heard. Is that you, Brother Brown?
That's
I thought it was me.
Is that you coughing? Okay, we got to control the cough. Take your cough, sir.
No, that won't be coughing, but I'm on the road. I'm coming from Baltimore, but I'm going on. I'm gonna listen to like your home, and I'm gonna come. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Drive safe, Brown.
Yes,
I'm good.
Speaking of which, you said you're on the way to Baltimore, coming from Baltimore. Let me play this clip by these young girls from Baltimore, and they are coming to the student council. Excuse me.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah. Mute yourself if you sound exasperated about something.
A sigh
or something. Don't forget to mute yourself because we can hear it. I want to play this clip on Baltimore from some Baltimore young girls. Well, no, I don't have time to play that yet, so I'll come back to that. Let's just take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll open up on our topic and our other questions on the table.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back. So tonight we're talking about environmental racism, environmental injustice, school-to-prison pipeline. And Feather, you just shared some information with us on our root chakras and our, our not feeling that we deserve what we deserve, and that's affecting us. Hello.
You're talking to me.
Well.
Hello.
Talking to everybody off the line. Have a little discussion around our topics and.
So your topic was about a construction of the prison pipeline, right?
School to prison pipeline, environmental justice, and I think Feather wants to have a little discussion around her root chakra and how. That's affecting us. So let's get at it, people. Else I can play my clip. Let's have some discussion.
Well, you know that prison pipeline thing. That's we have to look at the design. I mean the design of white supremacy in America. You know, we look at the prison system. You know, and we look at the jail system. That was primarily designed for us. All the way back to when they made laws in the 1700s. One of the first laws they made for slaves was meritorious manumission. It was a slave sticks law. But aside from that, the first black man that was locked up in this country was locked up in Northampton County, up here on the Eastern Shore. He was the first incarcerated person on this Western Hemisphere. But I say that to say this. The design of penitentiaries, privatization of penitentiaries, you know, the dumping of crack cocaine, all of that is by design. And right now we have young boys that are prison pipeline. It's up to us to stop it. And the way we stop it is we have to look at the education system. The education system is designed for black males between the ages of 9 and 15 at least get put back once or twice. Mm-hmm. But by the time they're 16, they will be in classes with smaller children. They're going to have a design in mind. So they drop out. And once they drop out, there's no hope for them because in the next 2 years, 90% of them have charges. You know, we have to stop just the people that are incarcerated because we have community-based sanctions that are more prevalent than the incarceration rate.
Yeah, it's like, you hear the phrase, well, there must have been something wrong. They wouldn't just arrest them for nothing. And there's a very weak support in the poor community, with the PTA. You go into the more affluent neighborhood, white parents do not stand for dysfunctional administration, dysfunctional faculty. But with black people, we fail to understand the psychology of white supremacy and Zionism. They are diabolical forces that are out to destroy the black male, especially the black male at an early age, because they don't want strong black male leadership. They are hell-bent on destroying a black child, male child's brain at an early age when a child would feel that it is never going to be anything but a loser, accept the role of a loser, and will be like a revolving door, in and out of prison. And I just was watching earlier today, 60 Minutes, how the humaneness so far ahead in Germany, how they treat their prisoners during hard times, compared to the prison here in the United States. similar to what was in the film that Michael Moore did called Where to Invade Next. You all get a chance to see that film on Netflix when it ever comes out. See this movie. I mean, it's an indictment against the system. But black people, not having political nor legal protection, we are just like we're easily preyed upon. And we don't know the psychology of the enemy, which is white supremacy and apartheid. It's really, really sickening that we got a black man in the White House who could care less. Yeah, an attorney general, she could care less. Her predecessor, the same. And all these killings of young black men by racist cops and the Black Stooges, it just went unanswered. No justice at all. Just a thing where we become so numb accepting this insult, this horrible situation where black people could just look roll and play dead. We get 84 a day, and then we don't do nothing. You hear nothing from the Sharptons out there formulating an economic boycott. And it just bothers me how the black community is sending all their money in stores that put nothing back into the community. So we have no one to blame but ourselves, because we have dysfunctional leadership that want to remain, look to be prominent, but not powerful. Adam Clayton Powell's anniversary tomorrow. How many blacks can tell you this man didn't just take up space in Congress? He offered bills to enable black people and people who are oppressed to have some sense of normalcy or empowerment. He authored bills. None of these black representatives in Congress and low level, they can't write. They don't write. And we deal with people who are getting reelected time after time, and there's nothing to hope for in the black community but doom and gloom.
Kent, I'm glad that you did mention that about Adam Clayton Powell. Because I know quite often
that was my boy.
Mentioned. Yeah, and tomorrow is the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King in Memphis, Tennessee, April 4th.
And how many black churches today mention the assassination of Dr. King's commemoration? I guarantee you, none in Harlem, none in Brooklyn, but I don't know where you. Well, these black pastors, they're eager to celebrate Dr. King's birthday. But not his death.
Interesting. Well, let me see if Delta is ready to give us a few hot topics, and then we can jump back into our topics and some questions that we have for people to call in and share their thoughts on tonight. Delta, you have some hot topics for us?
Yes. How everybody doing
tonight?
Hey. Well, let me get right to it. I got a funny hot topic, and I got some real two serious ones that y'all told me to get on Entrepreneur. Okay, this first little funny clip, this one is out of Georgia. It was a 19-year-old boy in I call him a boy because of my age, a 19-year-old young man, and a 26-year-old girlfriend. The girlfriend, I want y'all to tell me what you think. Do you think this young man should have been arrested? The young man girlfriend, like I said, he's 19, she's 26. The young lady had implants put in her butt, and they showed a picture of her implants, which they looked at, really made the body look really nice, I must say so myself. But anyway, she had them put in. Her and her boyfriend began to have sex. The young lady said the boyfriend wanted to do the doggy style. And he began to do the doggy style, and she could feel her implant getting tighter and blowing up and blowing up. So she told the young man to stop because she felt a lot of pressure from her. But now y'all know in the heat of the moment, it's hard to stop when you're almost there. Now you know you're almost there. You ain't going to stop me. So the young man didn't stop. The woman implants exploded in her booty.
Oh, my God.
Both her implants. So now they got him charged.
Him
charged with two felonies.
No, that's not right.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Why they charging
him? Yes, in Georgia. Mm-mm. In Georgia. So,
but you know what? These people get these implants. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
And
you
she called the police, and the police said when he got there, her implants was exploded.
Did you say implants? Hold up. Did you say implants in the buttock?
In the booty. In the booty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so they uncharged the young man with two felonies. Now, he didn't rape her. Him and her was having sex. But she said she felt her implants getting a lot of pressure. And she told him to quit. And she said and he was, the more excited he got, the more harder that he hit her. You know, from behind. And she said it would explode.
Shouldn't have been playing around. That was a baby if she was 26. Anyway, what's she expect? The baby can't stop. She has no self-control.
She was
26. What she should have done was to grab the staff of life and say, I told you, damn it, stop. And I don't care what kind of speed he was in, he would come to a grinding halt.
Well, anyway, I feel like, you know, you're behind. If you really want to get away, you can't get away. That is my opinion because I know I can't. I'll leave it at that. So, but anyway, so they charged the boy with two felonies and locked the young man up. So, locked him up. So I think the young man not be put in jail. I think, anyway, she more responsible than anything.
Certainly.
That's just my opinion.
She wanted to have a bigger butt than what she had and wanted to now be more sexy when she goes out into the street. Now, caring about the consequences of her action, he was in the throes of ecstasy and didn't hear her or didn't care to listen to what she was trying to tell him. She was having some difficulty. So is she still able to get the fluid out of her, or what happened to the fluid?
Well, she's in the, she, last time the paper, the article said she was in the hospital.
I'm sure she is.
From her implant.
I know she's got the whole medical staff looking at her and then laughing behind her back because it's a hell of a thing where you go to these quacks who, because they give you a nice price that you can deal with to have this operation done, and then something goes awry. And many times it's a black woman who cannot afford the real deal to pay for that kind of operation. But it's a terrible, terrible thing when a young man is with a woman who he didn't. She has everything's A-okay, and he finds out the hard way she has artificial additives, you know, artificial equipment that can cause him grief. And these young boys, they're not ready, even an older man even, they're not ready to be hearing something that you're looking at ain't the real deal. It's just unfortunate. I mean, as much money women, black women spending on hair pieces and wigs and all, that's bad enough. But when you got a woman got injection to make a rump look more appealing, it's just like you take the consequences of your action can be very, very dangerous.
Well, let me give you my other two hot topics right quick. This is good news. We have a young black boy who his own, he is his own CEO. He owns his own company. He wanted to figure out a way to make some money, and he tried to sell caramel popcorn, so that didn't work out. So he began to think, and he said, what can I get that would make people buy? So So he said he thought of people who was really help conscious now, who people really into their health. So he came up with an applesauce. And the applesauce that he came up with, the applesauce, he would make applesauce, and he's 21 years old, and he began to make applesauce. His grandfather taught him how to make applesauce. But then he went and changed the ingredient and made it a healthy applesauce that you can lose weight on. And now the young man is making almost $8,000 a month selling applesauce. Then he turned around and he put it in 25 different stores, and now he's making a lot of money. And he's a young black man, and he's 21 years old. Okay, yeah. Then we have another black young lady who wanted to to make something really big in Hollywood, and she began to. She saw how they was doing the wigs, so she was trying to come up with a way to do lace front wigs. So what happened is the young lady started making wigs and got a loan of $5,000 and turned her wig business, her lace front wig business. She's a 25-year-old woman, and turned her lace front wig business in a $400,000 a year business.
Wow.
$400,000 a year is what she make on lace front wigs for people. People all over the world buy lace front wigs. And this lady here is the one that really pushed it, a young black girl that's 25 years old. So then we have a young black boy who is, and this is a boy that's 14 years old. He made his first little money. He made $1,000. I forgot how he made $1,000, but he took $1,000, and the young man said he liked to invest, and he began to go and look around and read investments. And the young man took his 14-year-old boy took his $1,000 and turned it into $50,000. And now that was his first try, and he made $50,000 off on $1,000. And he's a stockbroker. Like, he goes in on the stock market, and he know how to go and read the stocks and everything. And he know, and people look to him. Young as he is, a lot of people just want to know his secret. How do he know which stock to pick? And the young man, now he can give you tips, but you have to buy his tips from him. And these are all black entrepreneurs.
Love it.
And that's my hot topic for today.
You get an A all the way.
Yeah.
A plus.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing those topics with us. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to hear the first hot topic that you shared, but I don't think I heard anything that was just too morbid, so sounds great, Delta. Thank you
and
so much.
And then I would like to get me a comment in right quick before you move on. I was listening about prison, the pipeline, and the other day I was looking and on the news, and they was giving some stats, and I think I posted it on your Facebook page. And I posted on the Sheer Facebook page. I posted on Mr. Brown page too. And they were giving some stats about pipeline to prison. And they were saying that on a President Clinton, and they said you can go and read and look at the stats for yourself. And they said and they had all the stats. And on a President Clinton, more black people have been sent to prison than any other time. In any other time, this is what unhappened on a President Clinton. And this is, and people don't realize, I did not know that either until I heard the stats either. I knew he passed that law by three strikes, you out. But they said He the one have sent more young men to prison under his law than any other time.
Well,
so
that's what
really
we've been saying. Why I don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton because, you know, it's convenient for Hillary to attach herself to Bill Clinton's presidency when it's something good, like, oh, the economy was doing well. But when it comes to attaching her to that crime bill, then people want to say, well, she wasn't the president. They kind of worked together. They worked together.
She was coaching.
Yeah, they worked together. So, you know, I can't separate them like that. I just can't. I mean, you know, to each his own.
Listen,
but I just can't separate them.
So you got to remember that crime bill was passed by the House and the Senate. He just signed it.
But wait a minute, bro.
He could have vetoed
his
it.
His wife
she
could have.
Yeah, he could have vetoed it. I mean, but it wasn't stolen up to him to pass.
He was an architect.
It was under his watch, though. It was doing his watch.
Yeah, because what the guy was saying, Mr. Brown, I posted it on your thing. So
yeah, I saw it, but I'm just saying that. If laws are made by legislators, we need to understand that no one person makes law and pass.
Okay.
You're right, Mr. Brown. You are right. You absolutely.
And then the other thing, you know, we have a congressional black caucus. Did anybody hear them protest it? No, because what they were hollering for was, let's clean up our neighborhoods. They were complaining, and not just the black congressional caucus, local community leaders were saying, you all aren't cleaning up our neighborhood. That was our first kiss of death. Number one, you gonna clean up our neighborhood when you created this hell?
Thank you.
You know, that goes out. We want to talk about that. We can take that issue all the way back to the Harrison Act. Okay, that was the first drug act that was ever passed. And what it did for the United States government, it gave the United States the right to control all the drugs all over the planet, specifically opium.
Yes.
This was passed in 1917. Before that was in the crack cocaine. And two of the elements that was associated with that field said, was in that black men. See, if black men take heroin, they become like mad dogs and they want to kill white men. And if black men take cocaine, they get an unnatural sex drive to rape white women. That was in 1917. So it didn't survive with Bill Clinton. It's been ongoing and progressive because we have to look at the elements of white supremacy racism that run this country. Mm-hmm. The problem, you know, what are we going to do about it? You know, I hear us talk about them little boys saying, you know what we have to do? And I met with some people today, you know what we have to do? We have to go out there and get them. We have to go out there and start educating these boys so that they can pass in school. Then they won't be statistics.
That's true. Let me share this clip before we run out of time, because sometimes I don't get a chance to play these clips. Let me just share this one, and this is from preschool to prison.
I have therefore, in accordance with the solemn responsibilities and the oath of my office, taken the following action. Units of the National Guard have been and are now being mobilized with the mission to maintain or restore the peace and good order of this community. Advanced units are already on duty on the grounds of Central High School.
from the first African forced to integrate into white schools until now, the school system has remained consistently hostile to African children. The hostility came in the form of angry white mobs and state troops years ago.
You need to calm down. You need to do it now. Okay? You remember me?
No, I don't remember.
I'm the one you told your mom to put handcuffs on you. It's just a problem.
Today, brutality has become institutionalized in the education system. The advent of police officers in schools has transformed an education process to a pipeline to prison. Police conducted a random drug raid at a high school in Goose Creek, South Carolina. As you'll see in this video clip, police pointed guns at the students' heads, handcuffed them, and made them lie on the floor or kneel with their faces to the wall, while an officer with a drug-sniffing dog searched backpacks and belongings. After rounding up the students and searching their lockers, no drugs were found and no charges have been filed. A Greenwood High School videotape shows a student resource officer brutalizing an African student inside the school and the officer twice pointing his pistol at the student. Flajay Mervin, a 16-year-old in Palmdale, California, dropped a piece of cake while celebrating a friend's birthday. The SRO demanded that she pick up the cake. She complied. Dissatisfied with her cleanup, the officer demanded her to come back and pick up the remaining pieces of the cake. She complied and attempted to go to class. Still dissatisfied, the student resource officer demanded that she come back and pick up the crumbs. Again, she complied. However, the police brutally attacked her.
I was turned around and walked past, and he grabbed me from behind and put my arms behind my back and pulled it up until the head. And then he grabbed me on the table. He called me a nasty head and he told me to hold still.
This young woman, her wrist is fractured. These right. Young girls' wrists are fractured by this security guard, Chris Niemeyer. And this is ridiculous. Our children come to get educated, not abused by security guards.
Six-year-old Desiree Watson, a student at Avon Park Elementary, was arrested and charged with a felony as well as two misdemeanors for disrupting a school function.
I just want to pause it right there before we go into break and just have a little discussion around this. I don't have children in public school or private school or charter school, but I think some of you on the line may have grandchildren or children in school. So are these resource officers very common in the schools, or is it yeah. just certain schools? Or
when these resource officers came into play, when these schools came up to be zero tolerance policy, zero tolerance for any kind of behavior goes from pre-K to 12th grade. Any kind of behavior that is unruly or boisterous or violent, then you call a resource officer.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the age of the child, because I fought many battles when I was in the city of Norfolk helping parents because of a resource officer. I got a pretty bad name in the school system, but I didn't give a damn. But I was not going to allow them to continue to handcuff 5 or 6 year old kids.
Right.
And I was the only black man, and I was the only black male that came out for these families. The problem is that where the hell is the man then? If you see a young lady that has been mishandled by anybody in the school system that belongs in our community, where the women with a man step to the damn plate.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you should have been talking about.
Let's take a quick break, Brother Brown. I want to pick right back up where you just met with, at that statement there, because I wonder, are the children coming home sharing this with their parents? Like this little young girl, you can see her arm was fractured. And in the clip, woman, the clip is speaking about how the police officer pulled the gun out on the children and had them all up against the wall and on the ground. Like they're common criminals, and these children are in school. So this is a YouTube video that you can actually view. So this is, you can see this. And I mean,
well, I'm going to tell you, you may as well take it back to the principal, because the resource officer is not going to move until the principal say move it.
Oh, okay. Really?
They give them the orders. They don't just go in and start doing things. Not around here. No, they, unless it's, y'all may be doing something different someplace else, but down over here,
mm-hmm.
officer ain't going to move. And then sometimes they say, well, we don't want to do that. So they don't do that unless the officers, unless the principal call them, hey, deal with this. And it's just like in real life. When you call and get the police involved, it's out of your hands.
It's out of your hands.
They don't take control, and they're going to do what they do.
And do what they do. Let's
you are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back here, and we're at the Lotus Place. You can call in and share your thoughts and comments. The number to call in is 641-715-3660, and the code is 549032. Press pound and then press *61 if you would like to share a comment. And let's take our caller from 754. Caller, your mic is open. How are you? Welcome in.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Kind of just tapped into the show. My name is Cynic, by the way. I'm calling from South Florida.
Yeah.
Say hello to you guys and all the listeners. I started listening to you guys when I heard you speaking about the resource officer. And I have children. I have three of my own, and I have four stepchildren, and all of them actually are in school right now. Two of them are about to graduate this year. And I watched it happen with them, and I related it back to me, and I think it's all been a plan. Get officers into the schools in the first place so they can continue with a forceful hand of the school to prison pipeline. And, you know, it is what you hear and what you see. They're doing the children, things that they're doing on the campus. It's a big mess. Of course, it's causing more pain and more harm to us than it is anything. There's no help. I don't see no reason for officers to be out there, even with all the shootings and things like that. By my analysis, more of these schools that are more populated with Caucasians, these are where the mass shootings are going on. And, you know, not to say that that's the only place that it will happen or has happened, but I don't see a reason to have a resource officer at the elementary. I never understood it. You mean to tell me they that unruly, you can't deal with them, and they're that bad, you need someone with a gun to help you?
And the whole deal with the children having to go through these metal protectors and the children were, from some of the clips that I've viewed, the children were saying that they didn't feel comfortable at all having to go through these metal detectors and be pat down and scanned. And I know that my children may bring weapons or whatever to school, but then that's a whole other separate issue. So why do the children feel like they need to bring weapons to school is what I ask. Instead of, you know, making everybody feel like a criminal, not every child is bringing a weapon in. So why does everybody have to be subjected to those attacks as if they're criminals? That's what I don't like. And I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
I think the combination of things that have happened over years that have caused it. And just like you say, there's no way possible you can still feel comfortable going into a place of learning, the institution of learning, getting packed down. You know what I mean? Because even if it is safe, you didn't find any guns or anything, you still have in your subconscious that. Just wasn't in here and shoot this up like they just come on my street and just shoot up my street. It's the same thing. You introduce the violence into something that you don't need. You need to be learning about violence, not, you know, do you got to duck and roll and run through here. It's a bad situation. And I got kids all the way up. I got kids in elementary, I got kids in middle school and high school. And next year I have kids in college. So I'm knee deep in.
I said, I know when I've been in some of the schools and I can see some of the resource officers shuffling the children through the hallway and yelling at them and pushing on them, and it's just like, oh my God, I don't know what
they're going to be criminals anyway, so go ahead and treat them like that anyway. Go ahead and start treating them aggressively and blitz out, because that's all they're gonna be anyway. They haven't, so just start treating them like that and do them like that, because it doesn't matter anyway. And all I'm saying is, okay, if that's the case, if you feel like that, okay, we'll make it easier for us to homeschool our children. You know what I mean? Pathways like that. If I had to work so much, I would definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, be homeschooling my children.
I see us having to go to homeschool, and we have to figure it out, and we have to pull in some retired neighborhood teachers and principals to come in and teach, administer this homeschool, and I'm not sure how it all works. I know, I think it's a Black Media Educational Project. They always have these classes on how to start homeschooling your child. We've got to pull our children out of this public school system. We can see what's happening in Detroit, what happened in New Orleans. So there is not a real desire, it seems, by some of these cities and states to really educate the children. It's just about figuring out a way to process. That's what it seems like to me. It's no more like we really want to educate our children so that they can be great citizens for our country. It's like educate them to be workers. It could be the workers out here or workers in the prison. We just want you to be educated to be a worker bee, period.
Yeah, right.
Don't think.
Right.
We just need you to work.
I completely agree. Like I said, I just want to say that, and I appreciate the whole project, Black Talk Media, but I appreciate the ladies, and y'all keep up the good work. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Delta, the school that your grandchildren attend, have you ever seen resource officers or heard of any incidents like that occurring in their schools? And we're going to get into some of this environmental racism. Delta.
I wanted to give a quote from this author, Michael Porter. And the book is entitled "Kill Them Before They Grow."
Mm-hmm.
And he was a psychologist for a school in Georgia in the emotional behavior disorder teachers, what he was called. So he saw so many
black boys being shuffled through his office as having behavioral problems so that they could medicate them, and then the parent could get, you know, a little stipend every month. And it was nothing wrong with these children, but it was a racket, and it was, I mean, this was back in 2000 and that he wrote this, and it just confirms the fact, like the caller was saying, it's about conditioning these little young children at an early age to be accustomed to being shuffled through like little prisoners, little young toy prisoners, and so that they can become accustomed to being treated like this, so that when they go to, when they get older and then are locked up for some minor offense, they don't balk, because this is what they're used to. This is they're being conditioned. And then I understand that there are also some schools that are being built, and they look just like the prisons. They're built on the same, you know, structure as a prison. And this is just a small quote from Michael Porter in this book, Kill Them Before They Grow. Too many of us assume that most whites view our children as equal with their own. Therefore, we believe white teachers and other professionals will treat our children equally. Our ignorance binds us to the destructive, racist, lopsided scheme that places African American boys and children now into special education classes called behavior disorder specifically. So this is what he saw, and this is what he was compelled to write about, because it was just so amazing to him how streamlined this whole thing was, you know, just because they're hyper, because they're bored with what's being taught to them. They are a higher mindset, their vibration level is higher, and so the teacher all of a sudden just feels like, I just can't deal with it, and then they're placed on medication and they're dumbed down.
Yeah, and I just don't understand, because there are studies that show that especially black boys learn differently from everybody else in the classroom. So why are they still expecting for these young boys to just sit? Well, you know what? That's a bad question, because I already know what the deal is. So I just have to go back to, we just have to pull our children out, because they do learn differently. So we need to teach them in the way that's best for them to learn. Our boys, from my understanding, what I've researched, they have to be hands-on. They have to, like, touch and feel. They have to have somebody standing next to them, like a person that looks like them, like an adult black male standing next to them, showing them. This is
right. Letting them touch it, feel it, do it themselves.
Yes. And
kinetic learning.
Yes, and so many of the teachers, especially these white teachers, they look at our children differently. They don't look at our children, studies say, they don't look at our children as if they would look at another little white child, because they look at that white child like, that could be my child, that could be my nephew, my niece,
my cousin.
You know, right.
Yeah.
So when they look at our little boys and girls, they look at them as aliens. So,
they do.
They don't have any sympathy or empathy for them. And again, we are in this system that is designed to ship our children straight into prison. I have a little cousin. I have a little cousin that has been suspended from kindergarten twice. And when I was coming up, that was just, I never heard of one of my
They didn't have suspension. No, they didn't have suspension for kindergarten.
No.
And you know, they cried and threw tantrums and what have you. They were children.
That's what they did. I mean,
they missed being home.
Yeah, I thought that, I mean, you know, what do they call it? Like the terrible twos, and then you have the little kindergartners and preschoolers.
Right. First time being away from mom all day.
So, I mean, to expect for a child just to sit and be still. And see, that's what makes me think that there is really this plan to
have us all just behaving like robots, not having any feeling, any emotion, just staying in this weird, stepwise like order, and just not coming out of that whole box. It's being boxed in. Everybody's the same.
Everybody's the same.
And I think that just destroys us artistically. So let me pick back up on that little clip on the school to prison pipeline. But before I pick back up on that clip, any comments on school to prison pipeline? Anybody notice anything in their schools, their children's schools, grandchildren? Delta, you might have quiet, Delta. I'm going to X you out again.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
I don't hear any comments,
well,
I think you're not there, and I just have the
yeah, can you
mic
hear me?
Open. Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, because you have grandchildren. I thought for sure you comment.
Yeah,
okay.
And know what it is. I'm telling you, you need to get started to check my line. If anybody else did the same thing, my line keeps jumping off. I can be just, I ain't touching the phone or nothing. The line will just go off. It'll say like it's ending.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, I have grandkids, and my granddaughter, they were going to put her in school suspension. And this is the rules. They got a lot of silly rules that when we were kids in school, they didn't have these rules. Okay, like down south where we are, it don't got hot down here. And you can't wear a jacket. They don't want you to wear a little thin jacket. And my granddaughter says she wears the jacket because the teachers have the air conditioners in the room so cold. They said it'd be so cold in the room. And so they said that she was going to be suspended. He left me a message in school suspension if she wear her jacket again. So she cannot wear her jacket. I don't care how cold it is. She got to have, like, maybe a long sleeve shirt with a bunch of other clothes up.
Yeah, are you serious?
No, that's the rule. That is the rule. Because they said you can't wear a jacket. You can't wear a jacket. And I guess, you know, what? With all the violence and different things going on, when it's cold, they let them wear the jacket. But now what they saying, it's warming up, now they're running the air conditioning. But my granddaughter, not only my granddaughter, I hear a lot of kids say that it's so cold in the rooms. They have it so cold.
I can't really function when I'm really cold.
Right.
And I can't think well.
So they're going to put her in school suspension for being real cold. Okay.
Oh, no.
Then when we have, you can only wear khaki pants, khaki or dark navy blue pants. And you can wear a red shirt or a white shirt or a dark navy blue shirt. That's all you can wear. And you can wear a belt. And if you be caught without your belt, you'll be sent home. I mean, they got a lot of rules. It's just stuff you never heard of. We never heard of when we was coming up.
Well, let me ask you this about the whole in-school suspension now, because I can see the not wearing the belt and all that. I can see that, even though it's a little extreme, it's a little more than what we had to experience. But in terms of the jacket, because I don't think that you can regulate when somebody's cold or hot or anything
how a
like
person
that.
Feels.
How a person feels. Again, here we go with this robot stuff. So this is a human being, and you don't know what kind of illness she may have that may make her colder than the next person. That's
exactly.
Number two,
a health issue.
Number two, if it's more than your child, and even if it's your grandbaby, it seems like to me that does the school have like a school board, and do you have school board meetings?
Yeah, it have all that, but these are the handbook rules. We have a handbook, and it's in there.
And that's fine. It seems like maybe parents may want to get together, like the school PTA, maybe get together and challenge this and have this rewritten, because if the child is cold, she's cold, and she needs to be able to wear a jacket. And if enough people get together and protest this and fight against this, then something could possibly be changed. That's how rules are changed. People,
people
get up and say something about it.
And then one of the schools here when my kids was going to school, and this was like maybe over, and my boy's 30, and this happened, I think, some years ago, where this this white lady that I knew, she married a black guy, and her kids was biracial. And they had one white teacher, male teacher, and this was over at Gaucher Junior High, and they separated the kids by race, and they really done this. They really, really done this, and they took the young girl's hand and slammed it in the door because she was biracial, because the girl would go home and tell her mother how they had them separated. Do you not know this mother took this case all the way to the federal court? And do you not know they proved that the teacher separated the kids by race? Everything the lady said, they proved it. Do you not know those jury are white people sticking together? Do you not know they let that teacher go for seriously injuring that child's hand and separating the kids by race? They let that teacher go and send that teacher on away and close the case. Do you not know that? It's just horrible the way some schools is. And I have a friend girl who subs all the time, and she told me, and I must say black teachers too, she have told me, so I can't lie, she said black teachers too, and she said that if a lot of times the teacher, if a child have a reputation, all they got to do, another family member can have a reputation, and she said that they would take it out on the kids, and she said, and they do make a difference. It's really biased. And she said, and if a child parent don't come out to the school and stand up, that child gonna get treated the worst.
Of course, I can see that. I certainly can, and so that's why I would say, if you feel like your child is being mistreated, make a big fuss at the school board meeting. Do all that you have to do. Let me share this other clip. I want to actually finish playing a little bit from the school to prison pipeline clip, and then let's get into our environmental justice. Let me just share a little bit more of this one.
Elementary was arrested and charged with a felony as well as two misdemeanors.
Security guard!
Six-year-old Desiree Watson, a student at Avon Park Elementary, was arrested and charged with a felony as well as two misdemeanors for disrupting a school function.
She never fall out. She's very respectful. If I tell her to do anything, she do it.
Her mother was outraged that the police took her to jail and booked her as if she was an adult.
I was very upset about that, and I felt like they violated my baby right. I feel like, and then later on in life, she might have tragedy from going to jail. I'm very upset about that.
When there's an outburst of violence, we have a duty to protect and make that school as safe an environment for the students, the staff, the faculty, and that's why at this point the person was arrested.
No matter what the age.
Regardless of what the age.
Avon Park's chief stands by this arrest.
You did the right thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it.
They got a sign over the water fountain saying, drink at your own risk.
My nephew started getting tiny bumps and red little rashes on his body.
The principal kept saying, don't wash your hands if you have a cut.
We thought he had cradle cap because, like, you know, his hair kept falling out.
They kept taking him back to the doctor, and they couldn't say what was wrong.
Months and months, we've been drinking his water, and we had no idea what we was drinking.
You can't really get around it.
When I wake up, I got to brush my teeth,
taking a bath, washing your hands, washing dishes.
Oh, I was giving my daughter and my son the water.
My mom used to make chicken noodle soup with water.
Watering your plants, washing clothes, taking a shower.
Cooking with it. Wash your hands with it.
My girlfriend was pregnant, you know, she was drinking the water.
Are those ice cubes from the water?
Boiling macaroni in it.
Making coffee. Rinsing off your fruits, vegetables, meat.
Did you wash that lettuce in sweat water?
Wash your hands. I wash my face. Every single day, that's something we use. Every single day.
You know how hard it was for us to retrain our children that they can't turn on a faucet? When we see all over the TV about our toxic water in our hometown, it does something to you. It makes you fearful. What are they going to do to us next?
I don't trust nothing. I really don't.
I don't trust them. I don't trust. No, I don't. I don't. I don't because we people and they're not treating us like we people.
How can I fight this? You're supposed to be able to protect your kids and it's something you can't protect them from. Everything water touches, I wouldn't trust them. Not at all.
I don't trust that anything that they say now. I don't think I would ever. They could have this whole place knocked down and picked back up. I don't think I would ever drink their water again.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, and we are back here at the Lotus Place, and we are talking Black Talk Live Sunday, destroying the school to prison pipeline and exposing environmental racism. And we also have some questions that you can call in and give your thoughts on. Questions on the table: are you pro-life, pro-choice? Will you vote? And do you plan on traveling to Cuba? And also, do you think that Black people care enough for themselves and others in order to really make a change? So those are some of our questions. And let's see, let's get back into our environmental racism. We'll open back up tonight for you to share your thoughts.
When we think of racial injustice, we think police brutality or the criminal justice system. But what about our air and water? Environmental racism. It's about policies and practices that discriminate against communities of color by making them live near landfills, sewage plants, and other polluting facilities. And while poverty has a lot to do with it, the leading environmental justice expert told me this.
Racism trumps class. Even middle-income African Americans are more likely to live in more polluted neighborhoods.
In fact, one study found that Black Americans making $50,000 to $60,000 a year are more likely to live in polluted neighborhoods than white Americans who make just $10,000 a year. Flint, Michigan is a textbook case of environmental racism. It's where 100,000 residents have been poisoned with toxic water contaminated by high levels of lead. Why? Because the state was trying to save a buck. Flint is around 57% Black, with 40% of its population living in poverty. Residents protested the dirty water for over a year, but were ignored. And that's how environmental racism plays out. Minority communities have much less political clout, so regulators can and often do ignore them. And not far from Flint is Detroit, where 83% of the population is Black. It's home to the most polluted zip code in Michigan.
Zip code is the most powerful predictor of health, and all communities and all zip codes are not created equal.
Southwest Detroit is surrounded by a lot of industry, like salt mining, steel production, tar sands oil refining, and coal burning. And that's meant that 1.6 million pounds of chemicals enter that community yearly. Not coincidentally, Wayne County, where Detroit is, has the highest number of children's asthma cases in the state. But look, environmental racism isn't just a Michigan story. It's an American story. Take, for example, Louisiana's Cancer Alley, an 85-mile stretch along the Mississippi River. It's known for its over 200 petrochemical plants and a high rate of cancer, mainly among Black residents. So is there anyone protecting folks from environmental racism? Well, there's supposed to be. The Environmental Protection Agency has a special department called the Office of Civil Rights. But in its 22-year history, the office has never formally found a single case of discrimination. In fact, more than 90% of communities that make complaints find them rejected or dismissed. On top of that, the Guardian newspaper recently revealed that U.S. authorities across the country are deliberately distorting water tests in cities like Detroit and Philadelphia to minimize the reported amount of lead in the water. Environmental racism, while not always the most visible form, is also widespread. So when is enough enough?
Okay, so that clip, that stunned me also. Just hearing, excuse me, just hearing that out of the 22 years of this federal agency that's supposed to be there to let people know if their water is contaminated, to inform the public and to, I guess, write up some changes or things that need to be done. The same agency that Dr. Edwards has been fighting with for years has not done anything, has not filed any cases, and actually rejects 90% of the cases, just like they rejected the claims of the friend, of the people in Flint that continue to complain about the aesthetics of the water, the lead in the water, the E. coli in the water. And it's just ignored. And these people were just told, oh, you're just imagining things. Relax, relax. I mean, these are the exact words.
How you always got to do that?
Hello? And these people were told to relax. And actually manipulating the water test, because Dr. Edwards explains that when the EPA came in to test the water, then they would actually let the water flush through or run through when actually they're supposed to take that first drip.
Right.
The water test. Right. And so this is how, not just in Flint, but in many cities, they've been able to manipulate those tests. And they've been able to, the EPA has essentially been able to just report anything, just report, oh, yeah, the water's fine. No lead in the water. I mean, but my whole thing is, why are you supposed to be the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, when you're not doing your job? So this, is this another scam agency?
Right. Just another farce. It's another facade of people getting paid, occupying space. Because what's the purpose? Like you said, what's the purpose? I mean, when I was...
years of your existence, you haven't filed not one case, and then all...
all of these cases?
That I presented to you, like, 90% you reject. Really?
Mm. Yeah.
And people have chemicals in their water all around the country. Now it's been exposed. The veil is being lifted.
Yes. Now that's scrambling.
Right.
Backtracking, backpedaling.
Cancer Alley, Arkansas has a Cancer Alley. So many of these different cities.
It's one in Houston, too. Isn't there, like, going toward Galveston?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Channel View, Crystal City area, that's a Cancer Alley this year. Memphis had a Cancer Alley. And so, like I said, there's certain zip codes, and this is where they will plant these different factories, emitting all these chemicals and pollution. And it's like, oh, well, you just be sick in your area. And so now Delta, down there in your area, you have a chemical plant. What factory is that, or what factories are there down there near Goshen and Gulfport? One, two, three, four, five. Delta, I'm going to ask this again. Why do I always have to ask you twice? It completely disrupts the flow when I ask the question and then we're just sitting there and then we're waiting and it's just this inappropriate dead silence that should not occur on the radio. I always have to like ask you twice. I don't get it. Are you on mute? I don't get it. I really don't. I really don't. I try so hard to be patient. So now I'm just going to X you out because that's the drop that you hear, because I X you out. I just disconnect your call because it disrupts the flow, sweetie. It completely disrupts the flow, and I just really can't take it. I've been trying to be patient, and it's really annoying. Because it throws off the show. And I don't think our listeners like it either. They're waiting to hear from you. So, anyway, I'll just play a clip because this is annoying to me. All of this is just annoying. Just don't even worry about it, everybody. Let's see. Let me go with this one here. Racial discrimination.
Camden was a beautiful city. You wouldn't believe it. Years ago, it used to have stores on every corner. You didn't see no vacant lots, houses. It was clean. The water was good. The air was fresh. Now the air is bad and the water is poisonous.
Camden has the second highest cancer rate in New Jersey and the eighth highest in the nation.
The children were sick. They were coming.
Actually, we heard that one earlier. So that's the clip on Camden, New Jersey. So let me just share another one. Let's just switch back here quickly to these Florida students that were caught up in this whole prison the pipeline system. Hearing their stories just really moved me.
My name is Shanice. I'm 14 years old.
I'm Trevay Brown, 21 years old.
My name is Wilhelmina Gibson.
I can say that I've had a tough time with school. They never really tried to understand why I was acting out. I feel like they gave up on me.
I felt like I didn't have anybody to talk to, anybody to support me, or anybody just to be on my side and say, I know you're a good student.
I think all students should be allowed to make mistakes.
You're a child. You're supposed to make mistakes. Like that's how you learn.
I'm surprised that I graduated high school and that I'm in college now, because the route that I was going, especially with the zero tolerance policy, I thought that I was going to drop out of school in 10th grade.
Zero tolerance sounds like something that entails prison. Sounds like entails inmates and criminals.
So I was 15 when I was arrested. That incident that happened when I was 15 years old, coming back 6 years later and impacting me now.
Today I got out of jail. I've been in jail for 21 days. It messed me up because I might have bad grades and I can't go to school.
I don't think that the school has a right to tell a student that they don't want them.
In order to really protect somebody, you have to really get to understanding why this is happening or what made this happen so that you can stop it from happening. And I think that they don't do that.
If you want to be treated right, or if you want your kids and their kids to be treated right, then you have to say something.
You can't lay a seed on the ground and expect it to grow if you're not watering it, if you're not making sure that it gets the proper care. And I just felt like they kept expecting it, but they wasn't really putting in on it. Nobody should have to go through what I went through.
And those were some students that were caught up in this whole Florida school of prison pipeline. Just absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Let me share another clip here. Let me see. One second here. I believe that, Aja, you have another quote, Feather? Did you have another
yes.
quote? Are you ready for that now? Okay.
Yes.
What quote do you have?
Okay, this is what I wanted to share. The journey isn't so much about becoming.
I think you went on mute. The journey is not so much about becoming something. You're on mute. Hello. You're on mute.
Hello.
On mute. Yes.
No, I wasn't on mute. The operator came in.
Hmm.
It was kind of weird. Okay. Yeah, the operator came in. Okay. Hmm. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. The best book in the world is inside you. Read it, know what you're about, not what is expected of you.
In each book, there is a table of contents. What are your contents? So those are some quotes I had to share. And I also wanted to kind of kind of wrap up what I was talking about earlier with the root chakra, because it really does affect what is going on right now with our rights, you know, our rights to have. So a balanced root chakra, that I just want to give you a comparison. When it's open properly, this is your foundation. This is the one when you're supposed to feel secure, you're supposed to feel safe, you're supposed to feel like you have a right to be here, a right to health, and your basic things, your survival. So these are things that are being threatened right now. So let me skip down to an overactive root chakra. An overactive root chakra means that you may experience aggression towards people, greediness in controlling others, and becoming belligerent to authority. You may become dependent on security from other people, like your job or specific habits. You may have difficulty accepting change. You may become very materialistic or impulsive and think that your value or self-worth exist in having such things. So that's an overactive chakra, root chakra. If you have an underactive root chakra, because it can be overactive, underactive, or open to close. So if it's underactive, you feel disconnected from the world around you, including your own body. You feel disorganized. You lack focus. You lack discipline. You may even become afraid, anxious, or restless in your daily things that you do. You probably experience a lack of stamina, depression, or desire to do anything. The things that you enjoy, you don't do them. You don't do what gives you pleasure. You have trouble obtaining financial security. You have a sense of being fearful all the time, and in some cases, a sense of apathy. You just don't give a damn. And so this is your underactive root chakra. So a balanced root chakra, everything is okay. You feel secure. Your daily tasks seem effortless. Not a big deal. You take things in stride. You don't have any doubts about why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing, your place in the world. Everything works well, your relationships, you got your money in order, your career in order, and you work with the world and not against it. So basically, the people of African descent as a whole, as a collective, our root chakra is totally off balance. According to the lady who wrote The Wheels of Life about the chakras, Dr. Andrea Judith, she says that one of the elements or factors causing a collective imbalance, closed root chakra, is a type of a holocaust to a group of people such as a genocide. This is exactly what is going on right now with people of African descent. We fit into that mold. We are under constant ethnic cleansing methods by so many different areas. You got the environmental poisoning that we're speaking on. You got nutricide, food that isn't really food. You got the school to the pipeline project that's going on, getting children ready to be prisoners. It's threatening our right to have, to feel secure, to feel safe. We're constantly being threatened. Like the teenagers that were just talking, she was afraid she wasn't going to even finish the 10th grade. That's for minor stuff. Why you got police with guns in schools like this now, just think of the tension. I mean, it was tension enough trying to learn stuff when we were in school. But these cops lingering outside the doorway and you trying to learn something, can you imagine the stress that these children are under? And then they see their friends being hauled away and they're saying that this could be me. So yes, our root chakra as a whole is definitely, definitely way, way off. It's way, way off. And I can't really tell us how to fix it right now, like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, but it's something that we need to be aware of. The first thing is to just being aware, just knowing how important our energy system is and how it affects us. Do you agree in some ways that with everything that African people are going through right now, it causes our behavior issues that we're experiencing? Hello? Oh, look, I was just going on and on, just stating my points, and I'm on mute. I absolutely agree with you. Our root chakras, based on the information that you've been sharing with us, are completely off because we're constantly in this survival mode. And I mean, we're trying to not only literally survive out on the street without being assaulted by a police officer or some crazy racist person that may just want to say, oh, I just want to kill some black people today or Mexican people or whatever. And so we're constantly faced with that. We're threatened by surviving on our jobs. People don't have job security these days. There's food insecurities. I mean, people live in food deserts. We don't have access to health care. I was listening to this brother today, and I need to pull up his article. It's on the Zimbabwe Newswire. I think that's the name of the website where you can go on to read this article. But he was just comparing. He's apparently like a Zimbabwean writer, and he was comparing like Cuba and the embargo trade deal being lifted. He was comparing like Cuba and like Zimbabwe, America's involvement. And so he was speaking about like Cuba, how they deal with the elderly and their health care. He said in Cuba there's no such thing as the elderly not having health care and being taken care of in their senior years, because they have that included in the healthcare plan. So there's no there's no whole realm of this putting your senior, your elder, your grandparent, your senior mother, a senior parent in some nursing home, because they have this all covered in your healthcare plan, whereas they will still be taken care of. They don't have to just be forced to sit in some little senior citizens home where nobody cares for them. And you know, here in this country, as you become older, you are expected to pay more. Like right now with my insurance is now, it's cool. But when I reach 65, then I will actually have to pay more for my health care than before turning 65. Yeah. It makes no sense, and then everything isn't even covered.
Yeah, and then the life insurance.
Oh my gosh.
You're covered. Oh, as long as you're good and healthy, and there's the only chance of you dying is in some type of accident or some rare illness or whatever, you just all of a sudden become ill. But if you, God forbid, you live to be 82,
83, 84, 85, and... Oh, boy. You better have had some money saved up.
Yeah, you have to switch your
life insurance
plan. Yeah, that makes no sense.
You are dropped.
I mean, would it make more sense for you to have the life insurance when you're getting close to your golden years, where you may just...
Right, like exactly.
Like my grandmother used to say, wake up and die. You know, so... wake up dead. Yeah, she used to say, wake up dead. So, I mean, would it make more sense to, you know, for the seniors to be able to have the health insurance and the life insurance? I mean, and if you've been paying for life insurance all your life,
all your life.
Yes.
Yes. And then what about all those years that I worked? All those years that I worked, over 4 years of working, all the money that I'm putting into Medicare, I shouldn't have to pay anything for insurance. Nothing.
Nothing.
They want you to pay $130 plus anything extra. Don't cover everything.
Right.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, so we need to actually have that discussion on the whole healthcare piece. Let's see.
Oh, you know, I just wanted to share one thing. You, wherever Texas Southern is, you have the father of the environmental justice movement there.
Oh,
his name
is in Third Ward. Yeah, here in Houston.
Yeah, that would be Dr. Robert Bullard, B-U-L-L-A-R-D.
Robert Bullard.
He's the one that has all these books on environmental racism, environmental justice. It's a lot of problems with the phone tonight.
Oh wow. Okay, because I can hear the echo.
It's squeaking and yes, he's at Texas Southern, and then let me see. A lot of feedback.
Okay.
And I kept getting kicked off, and it would say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And then I would call back in, and that's probably what was happening with Icy Hot.
You're icy hot. Delta Cougar. Yeah, maybe that, I don't
Delta
know.
Delta Cougar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I hope that we don't have that problem then on Wednesday when we are back. So we will have to have a part two on this because it's a lot to cover on environmental racism, environmental injustice, and school-to-prison pipeline. I mean, we could just really go on and on and on and have just regular shows on this because as when I was looking through a lot of the clips on YouTube, I mean, just city after city after city, and there was like an entire playlist of just constant videos of different places around the world that are speaking about the environmental racism they're affected with. So I'd like to certainly pick back up on that. And maybe I can look into seeing about this Dr. Robert Bullard, looking up some of his books and writing. And is he still alive there? I think.
Oh, yes. Yes. He's still there and live and well at Texas Southern.
Okay.
He's a dean of the school, dean of Barbara Jordan and Mickey Leland's school of...
It's a school of policy, I think, governmental policy.
Policy, yeah.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what he's doing at that school there right now. He was at Clark, Atlanta, I think.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
He's the father of, he's the one that brought all of this environmental justice stuff to the forefront. And he's written so many books. Jumping in Dixie is what it's called. One of them talks about all of the southern
unmuted
states where they've dumped it. And around the world, you can find the same pattern of exposure to toxins.
Okay, well, we'll pick that up on Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for tuning in, and see you soon. Good night.
Namaste.
Thank you.